You're listening to KPPP LPFM Radio.
A Cross Canada Hit Parade debut, jumping into 10th position this week, Tutti Frutti. And here to sing it in person is the man who made it a hit, one of America's greatest recording stars, Pat Boone.
I got a gal, her name's Sue. She knows just what to do. I got a gal, her name's Sue. She knows just what to do. I've been to the east, I've been to the west. She's the gal that I love best. Tootie Fruity, oh, Tootie. Tootie Fruity, oh, Tootie. Ooh, Tootie Fruity, oh, Tootie. Tootie Fruity, oh, Tootie. Tootie Fruity, oh, Tootie. Bop-a-loom-op-a-lop-bop-bop, I got a gal, her name's Daisy, almost drives me crazy. I got a gal, her name's Daisy, almost drives me crazy. She's a real gone cookie, yes siree. The pretty little Susie is the gal for me. Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy, Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy, ooh, Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy. Bop-a-loom-op, bop-bop-bop. Got a gal, her name's Daisy, almost drives me crazy. I got a gal, her name's Daisy, almost drives me crazy. She's a real gone cookie, yes siree. The pretty little Susie is the gal for me. Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy, Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy. Ooh, Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy, Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy, Tootie Fruity.
So that was Tutti Frutti by Pat Boone.
Yes, it was.
But that isn't who originally recorded that song.
No, it was actually recorded by Little Richard in 1955. And 2 months later, Pat Boone picked it up and tried to convince everybody that the song was his. You heard the announcer, it was in Canadian television, saying that Tutti Frutti, and here to sing it in person, is a man who made it a hit.
Right.
The big problem is that Little Richard made it a hit 2 months earlier, and it reached number 17 on the charts. But when Boone's version, Makeover, actually reached 12 on the charts. You know, it's a really good example of when white musicians basically steal African-American songs and pass them off as their own.
And that is very fitting for today's topic, which is cultural appropriation.
That's right.
And, you know, cultural appropriation is linked to racism. It's linked to the continuation of racism. And in particular, when we're talking about Indigenous people, which I am one of, Mexicans are First Nations Indigenous people. We are Indigenous to this continent, to this land. When you see cultural appropriation, you can link it directly to a continuing genocide and a dispossession, a minimization, an erasure of people that were the First Nations people here before the colonizers came and stole the land and robbed us of our culture, our language, our traditions, and our land. So we're talking about this today because I think that it is still very relevant. There's a couple of interesting news stories that have come up recently in the news in our local area, which I haven't seen anywhere except for Indian publications. There's been very little about them in the mainstream media.
That's right. And also, we should tell you that we are Sydney Gomeshemp and Duke Gomeshemp, and you are listening to KPPPLPFM. We're broadcasting online through Live 365, and soon we're going to be found on your radio dial at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves.
That's true. And we also, we love to hear from people. So if folks have comments or questions about what they heard on today's show or on other shows, You can find all of those at kppfm.com. You can leave us your comments right there along with the podcast for the show, or you can also call us and leave us a message on our call line.
That's right. It's the call-in line is 701-566-0917. You can leave a message, a couple-minute message. Tell us who you are and where you're from, where you live. We may air it, you know. Also, you can tweet us at media_PPP or by email, Cindy at kppfm.com or Duke at kppfm.com. Mm.
And we always appreciate everyone's comments, questions. We've gotten a lot of fantastic feedback and very useful because it helps us to plan our shows and talk about things that are happening in our community that we feel hasn't gotten enough media.
That's right.
Like today's topics.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I want to give a shout out to Lisa Casares, who brought this story to my attention. The costumes worn by Watertown South Dakota High School students. And we will have a link for the pictures that she sent me. And also there's a story about this high school and this tradition that they have of wearing Native people as costumes. Cultural appropriation. Mm-hmm. And Mexicans too. They did an orchestra show.
Oh, really?
Wearing Mexican hats.
And this is modern day high school happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But we've also seen that at local universities.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I think MSUM had some kind of event where they were asking people to quote unquote dress up
yeah.
as their favorite country.
Oh.
Like people from their favorite country. Like, mm-hmm. if you want to be an Asian today, dress up like an Asian.
Wow.
And I was thinking to myself, who thought this up?
Mm-hmm.
Who thought this was a good idea?
Well, it's been a longstanding tradition for white people to appropriate people of color culture. So it's been going on. My grandma was a teacher back in the, you know, mid 1900s. And she was appropriating Native culture all over the place, having her little kids in her farm school, all white little kids, by the way, on Indian land, dressing up like Indians.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I saw those pictures. And then there was other ones that said underneath Japs.
Oh, yeah.
And they were, and yeah, that was kind of a hearkening back to where this comes from. Because it was those teachers that were teaching this appropriation in the mm-hmm. school. Those are the people that we have conquered. Those are the people that are beneath us. And this is how we portray them now.
Yes.
They're gone, so we have to remember them by portraying them in some way.
Yeah.
And this narrative that comes back from people who are called on the carpet for appropriation is, well, you know, we're trying to honor the memory of these folks that are no longer here. These proud nations used to roam these valleys, and now they're not here anymore. So we have to represent them by having all white kids in mostly white schools wear them as costumes.
Mm-hmm.
That is the way that they want to represent them. You never hear about white folks in these places trying to represent the real history of the genocide and land theft.
Yeah.
Or trying to make any kind of reparations to indigenous people. So I find that that's a very hollow response mm-hmm. from people that are trying to make it somehow okay that they're appropriating other people's cultures.
That's right.
And I'm going to focus today specifically on cultural appropriation of Native people in this region simply because it happens a lot. It's a local topic. And we all live on Native lands
mm-hmm.
that used to belong to the people that are still here today.
That's right.
No, they haven't all disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
No, they aren't all on reservations. No, they don't all live in casinos. That isn't what Native people are today. And if you don't know these things, it's about time that you found out.
That's right.
You need to get informed. You need to find out what the local nations are.
Mm-hmm. and quit pitching that teepee in your front yard and holding your own powwow. Really learn what those traditions really are.
Right.
We have lots of opportunities because Indigenous people have been able to revive the powwow and hold celebrations and ceremonies. There's been changes in Congress that allow Indigenous people to practice their own religion. And there's a lot of people out there, you know, reviving their cultural heritage. And so there's plenty of opportunities for white people to get involved. White people are welcome to almost all these things.
And I see a lot of them there. But I have to say, as much as I love the powwow, and I love seeing white folks there, that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough. We cannot be, tourists.
Yeah. Cultural tourists, yes.
We cannot be cultural tourists if we are truly committed to dismantling racism. In a recent show, we talked about, this is, by the way, Sabor Latino.
Oh, yes.
Which is a Sunday show that we do in Spanish. And folks can find that also on KPPPLPFM.
KPPPFM.com.
Thank you.
Just go under the podcast link and you can see all the shows we've done.
Right. And Sabor Latino has its own tab.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the shows are in Spanish, but we did talk about a recent development where there was a special report, never has been done before, to the United Nations. And they did a special investigation and outlined what the United States needed to do in order to fix the problems of violence, and in particular police violence and the high rate of killings of Native Americans and the continued genocide of Native Americans. And they said that in order for the United States to reverse these injustices that continue to happen to Native people, is they need to return their stolen land to them. They need to return the stolen land that they took to these people because they continue to live in poverty. Indigenous people are still the people that are living in the worst kind of poverty, right here in our backyards. And we live in an area where most people know Indigenous populations are all around them, whether you're living in Minnesota or North Dakota or South Dakota. And so it's a topic I don't think is going to be discussed a lot in the mainstream.
No, I don't think so either.
Some people balk at the idea that this is, you know, something that Americans even should consider or have to think about.
And there are some groups who have done a lot of legal work on treaty rights, trying to get land back. And then there's groups like the White Earth Land Recovery Project, who took an approach. It was headed by Winona LaDuke, and she's still there too.
Her.
Yeah, she's great. But their philosophy was that, you know, there's been generations of wrong from white people. And they, on White Earth, thought, well, every time a piece of land comes up for sale, let's buy it back. Let's have the tribe buy it back. And let's buy our own land base back. And people thought, well, that approach isn't really the best one, but it was an approach that they took. And they developed quite a bit more land for the reservation by actually buying it market value from people selling land that was stolen from them.
And if folks want to find out more about the work that Winona LaDuke does, you can follow that on Facebook at Honor the Earth. Winona LaDuke, Honor the Earth. She has a Facebook page. Also, if you want to find out what's happening in Indian country, there's a fantastic publication locally that really covers Indigenous news, not just from the regional area, but also from the entire nation and the world. And that's Last Real Indians.
Oh, yeah. .com.
Yep, you can go find them. And we highly recommend them. In full disclosure, we've worked with them quite a bit and support them. And we're actually the fiscal agents of Last Real Indians as the People's Press Project.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to share news from those who are most disenfranchised from accessing media and being able to share their stories.
Exactly.
That's the whole mission of our nonprofit is media justice organization, like the People's Press Project.
That's right. And we want the people that don't have a voice in media to have a voice in media. So you should be behind this microphone.
Exactly. And we also want to highlight the stories in the news of those who don't have the same kind of access that the majority of mainstream media folks have. The people that have the least amount of access is people of color and women. They collectively own less than 8% of all media in America.
That's right.
And people of color own 3% or less.
Exactly.
So if is there any wonder that we have media representations of people of color that are very harmful to us, to our mm-hmm. identity?
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about appropriation, and you're playing from a list of songs today that are all about cultural appropriation as well.
That's right.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. There's only going to be three songs, but I also do a show called Band Music, and I'm going to do a show dealing with appropriated music also, because current popular music, especially by white bands and white people, has been appropriated from people of color from, you know, very early days. And there's all sorts of bands and musicians like mm-hmm. Elvis Presley and Led Zeppelin that you'll find that their music was basically lifted right from people of color. There's numerous songs. So I'll do a show on that. And just today, we're just going to play a few of them.
And, you know, when we tell folks, when we tell white folks that they're appropriating culture, that they're stealing, and that that form of theft is harmful,
mm-hmm.
whether you're taking credit for somebody's song or you are taking their culture and wearing it like a costume,
yeah,
something that they hold sacred, and wearing it like a costume. Well, when you don't hold sacred something that other people hold sacred, what you're doing is mocking it.
Yes.
And mocking someone and then telling that person that this is your way of appreciating their culture
mm-hmm.
is not something that people are going to thank you for.
That's right. There's no honor in stealing something from somebody and showing it off.
And there's definitely a harm to Native populations by the erasure, because you're taking and wearing something and or doing things like people that are going out and becoming shaman. I'm like, come on, white folks. You don't even know your own religion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know your own religion, and you're jumping the ship. You're giving up. You're leaving. Meanwhile, folks like me, we can't leave the religion. I'm a colonized person. I'm a Christian, and I have faith. I believe in what I was taught. I didn't have a choice, though. But my ancestor didn't have a choice, because if we didn't know this stuff, we would be killed.
That's right.
And if we were seen speaking our languages or trying to in any way practice our forms of worship, we were killed. And so, and that remains one of the only forms, going to church,
yeah,
where black people and brown people aren't seen as a threat, aren't seen as a mob, aren't seen as rioters, aren't seen as a gang. It's still one of the only legitimate places that we have a right to congregate without being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And even that is not true, as we found out recently.
Yes.
Where we were reliving the history of the bombings of black churches
mm-hmm.
in the 60s. We've been having that happen again. For those who don't know, there's been a lot of those.
Yes.
And we covered a lot of this stuff in past podcasts that we have available on KPPPLPFM.
Yep, KPPPFM.com.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. And for those who have just joined into this program, this is Cindy Gomez-Shump.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shump.
And you're listening to KPPPLPFM. And we are broadcasting through Live 365, but soon you can find us on your radio dial at 88.1 here in the Fargo-Moorhead region. And you can also contact us and let us know what you think, what kinds of topics you want to hear about, and leave us your comments.
That's right. You can give us a call at 701-566-0917. Leave us a voicemail. We may play it on the air, so tell us who you are and where you live, and keep it clean. Also, you can tweet us at @media_PPP, and by email, Cindy@KPPPFM.com and Duke@KPPPFM.com.
Now, we're talking about something that is a bit of a touchy subject, cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
And white folks are very sensitive when you tell them that something that they've been doing for a really long time that they didn't know was offensive.
Yeah.
Is offensive.
It is offensive, and stop doing it.
It's funny, because when I was in college, there was a college student in one of my classes who started crying. And it was a white girl. And she just started sobbing. And it was because we were reading a book in some literature class about the history of racism in America. And I think it was like a Toni Morrison book. Anyway, we were talking about the use of the N-word. And she burst into tears and said, my grandparents used the N-word their entire life. Everyone in the South used the N-word. Everybody did it. And they're not racist. And she just cried all these tears. And she said, it's just a word. It's just a word. And they use it too.
Oh, boy.
And you still hear that today.
Mm-hmm.
You still hear people saying, well, black people kill each other, so why can't we kill them?
Exactly.
You still hear white people saying, you know, why can't I use the N-word if they use the N-word?
Mm-hmm.
And what's so bad about it? And what's wrong with me appropriating rap clothes, rap music, rap lyrics, while black people get shot for trying to pull up their pants?
Oh, my. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you really want to know why so many black and brown people are angry at your appropriation of their culture, you can find out more. Mm-hmm. You can educate yourself. There are none so blind as those who refuse to see.
And you're going to get challenged, and you have to get comfortable being challenged, especially when you profess you don't know what you're doing. You can have it pointed out real easy by a person of color and then deal with it.
And if you don't like the truth, then you're going to have to deny the truth.
That's right.
And you're going to have to speak back to that person and say, you're lying. But just remember that when you're denying that truth, you're denying the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people who understand Christian speak in this American nation, because I was Christianized by the colonizers who came here, the truth is God. And the truth is the word of God. So for these people to be able to just run away from the truth and deny the truth in the face of the truth is not just to disparage Native people or black people, minorities, women. It's also to deny God. So
for sure.
people need to be mindful of that,
because mm-hmm.
that's who you're spitting on too. That's who you're denying. Go read your Christian Bible. It says when Moses, when a bunch of these prophets were out there speaking the word of God and they were rejected, they would talk to God and they were like, I'm really sorry, these people are jerks. And God said, hey, don't worry. It's not you they're rejecting. It's me. So you deniers of the truth out there, you think about that when you keep saying that the Sioux logo is honoring yeah. Native Americans.
Yeah.
And we have a link up on kpppfm.com along with this podcast that tells you about the history of the use of symbols, names, sports mascots, and why they're offensive.
Good, good. We all need to read that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important for people to know what it is that is so wrong. And if you really feel that you have a right to appropriate other people's culture, that the school motto should stay the same or the school mascot should stay the same, you need to read this and revisit whether or not your traditions, your racist traditions that started way back in all white schools on lands that had been taken from Indians that were pushed to the brink of genocide in quote-unquote remembrance of them.
Mm-hmm.
You need to read this and see where this tradition comes from.
Yeah.
You all should know, in 1968, everybody remembers 1968,
mm-hmm.
civil rights movement
that's right.
was happening. Well, that's when, for the first time, this is part of this link we have available, this is the first time when they made a formal effort by the National Congress of American Indians to persuade colleges, high schools, and all of these different professional organizations to discontinue the use of Indian-related mascots and names and logos because they were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they said these are derogatory. It's time for this racism to go.
Yeah.
You've been parading your racism happily, enjoying that, and it's time for that to go. That's what the civil rights movement was about.
Exactly.
Saying, time for this to be stopped. Mm-hmm. This can't continue. And, you know, it is taking something that's sacred and turning it into something that is a joke, that is mocked.
That's right. You know, and many of those mascots depicted indigenous peoples inferior, foolish, and violent. Mm-hmm. And they really, really mocked the appearances. You know, they would mix ceremonial regalia and all sorts of things, and it was very, very offensive. And so I'd encourage people to read this article. We'll have the post on below the podcast on kpppfm.com.
Definitely. And you know what? In Watertown, South Dakota, they still are doing this. But that's not the only place. They're doing this costume wearing at schools, at universities. There was something that we heard about UND sororities mocking the Native American Center students.
Yeah.
In a story that we heard last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'm always shocked and dismayed at the response from the schools until I realized that is where this training emanates from. These traditions of wearing the skins, if you will, wearing people as costumes, came from the first settlers, the first homesteaders, the first people that came to take over the land stolen from these people that were killed, raped, and robbed. And they tried to whitewash what they did by wearing these people as costumes and minimizing what was genocide, making it seem as if it wasn't something as horrifying and terrible as it was. It was sold to us as manifest destiny. It was sold to us as God ordained, right?
Right. The schools were, you know, in their sports especially, have been a breeding ground for this sort of appropriation. You know, I was a young kid, and the very first homecoming thing I went to, they were burning the body of the opponents, you know, on a bonfire. It looked like a lynching to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just a little kid. I was horrified. I was there to see this big bonfire, and I'm like, my God, they're burning a football player.
Homecoming things scared the poop out of me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to joke. I remember when I went to high school, I went to one of these things, and I'm like, oh, it harkens back to some crazy stuff. I don't like sports, Frank, American sports especially. Mm-hmm. I do like some Mexican sports, but I definitely do not like American sports. Football especially is weird and creepy and militant racist and racist.
And paramilitary.
And racist.
Yes, and racist and racist.
So let me tell you more about this Watertown, South Dakota High School and their racist homecoming tradition. Evidently they don't make all of the students dress up as Indians, but all the people that are participating in the homecoming activities, the king, the queen, all the, you know, all those folks, they all do dress up as Indians.
Wow.
Okay. And they, have a day called America Day.
Oh.
Like not America Day, America Day with apostrophe M-E-R-I-C-A.
Wow.
America Day.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In which they wear, you can dress up as an Indian, or you can wear patriotic garb on America Day. Oh, no. On America Day, you wear patriotic garb. And if you don't want to wear the flag, the stars and the bars, then you can wear some nerd outfit, some weird cosplay science stuff.
Oh, boy.
This school has the team, the arrows.
They're called the Arrows?
The Arrows, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're it's heavily Native. And you know what? I saw not a single brown face in the crowd.
Yeah.
It's all white people dressed as Natives.
Well, this is in Watertown, South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you know, that land, the history of that land, it comes from the Dakota Wars, where Dakota peoples were forced out of Minnesota by the government and by the military, and forced off their land because the white tourists wanted resorts all mm-hmm. over Minnesota, and they took their land. A lot of people were forced into that area. So for Watertown to have this going on now in the historical roots of that area is where people fled to and people died, people starved to death and froze to death.
And, you know, ever since 1968, that's well before I was born. Well, not well before.
Well, you know, a couple years or so, you know.
You don't have to
tell
everyone. Or
maybe 10 years, 20 years.
You don't have to tell people how old I am, honey. That's not right.
With age comes wisdom, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you still don't have to share my age with people.
Oh, I didn't.
Anyway, in 1968, that's like my entire lifetime plus some years, okay? They still haven't gotten rid of all these mascots. Not because it wasn't something that it was something that honored the native people. No, because white people are stubborn in holding on to their racism, just like they were stubborn in holding on to their racism under the umbrella of states' rights when they desegregated schools. Who was that guy in the South who said segregation now, segregation forever?
Today, segregation forever. George Wallace, he was the governor.
The governor.
At the time.
Yeah. He reminds me of that governor in Missouri. That guy's a racist too.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, we have the same kinds of things going on. I know that Native people are outraged by this. And if you are a white ally and you are outraged by the treatment of Native American people, don't just sit on your tuchus.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the phone, call Watertown High School and tell the principal's office that this is wrong. I will tell you how to get a hold of them. You can call the principal at 605-882-6316 and leave messages.
Yeah.
Do whatever you have to do. Find them on Facebook, Watertown, South Dakota High School. They're the ones that are located at 209th Street, Northeast in Waterton, South Dakota. So call there, tell them this is horrible. You could also complain with the athletic department. Because this has to do with the homecoming event.
That's right.
You can call that office at 605-882-6328. Or you can call the attendance office
mm-hmm.
at 605-882-6354. Share this with your friends. Tell them to call and complain and tell these folks, no, this is not okay.
That's right. We'll post these numbers on below the podcast, too. So.
Yeah, and I'll remind folks after our musical break what those numbers are, too.
Yes.
I want to encourage folks who are appalled and aggrieved by the behavior that still goes on. They started to try to get rid of these things all the way back in 68. And here it is, a remnant of racism alive and well right in Waterton, South Dakota. Help us get rid of it. What are we going to go out to here?
Well, we're going to listen to a song, another appropriated song. You might recognize it. It was done in 1961 by The Tokens, and it's called The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
And The Tokens, really?
Yeah. And Solomon Linda is a South African musician, actually wrote the song in 1939. And then, you know, the Tokens recorded it, and then later Pete Seeger recorded it. You know, so here's Seeger appropriating the same song.
A2, Pete Seeger.
Yes, and, you know, the original lyrics, you know, person who wrote them didn't make any money, and the person died poor. So let's listen and take you way back to 1961. Listen to The Tokens, The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Thank you.
Wow.
Well, you're listening to KPPPLPFM, and this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And what was that song again?
It was The Lion Sleeps Tonight by The Tokens. It was 1961, and it was appropriated by that band then. It was actually written in 1939 by Solomon Linda, a South of African musician. Wasn't this song used in The Lion King?
Yeah,
the
movie? How appropriate is that?
Oh, yeah, no, how appropriative is that? That? And that's it's a whole other show to deal with. That was a Disney show, right?
Oh, my God. Oh, Disney
yes.
is terrible.
Yes, very much.
And racist.
Yes.
That racist little mouse.
Mm-hmm.
That M-I-C. Remember that?
Oh,
Paul,
yeah.
Remember that Paul Mooney joke? He's like, I know that racist little mouse. M-O-U-S-E, you know, like the M-I-K-K-K-K-Y.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I promised we are doing a show on cultural appropriation today. We're talking about specifically the appropriation of Native American culture and how it's tied to racism, how it's linked directly to racism and the history of racism. When we were talking about the story of this Waterton, South Dakota high school using Native culture, Mexican culture, and wearing it like costumes, mocking our people's culture, indigenous culture, and traditions, and urging the public who are upset about this to get a hold of the principal, the attendance office, the athletic office, and let them know. Find them on Facebook. Leave mm-hmm. a message on their Facebook page. Waterton, South Dakota High School, the one that's at 209th Street Northeast in Waterton, South Dakota. And you can also leave a message or talk to the principal at 605-882-6316. You can call their attendance office at 605-882-6354 or the athletic office, since this other tradition they have is related to homecoming activities.
Yes.
605-882-6328. Let your voice be heard.
That's right.
And I'm going to move on to the next topic, which is very offensive to folks in the region. I don't know how many folks heard about this in the mainstream media, mm-hmm. but Lash Rill Indians talked about it
oh, yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
And if you want to find out what's going on in Native country, and you should care because this is all Native lands.
Exactly.
You should know what's happening to Natives. It's not just go visit the powwow once a year. Follow what's going on in their lives. Hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
There should be tons and tons of white folks that are paying attention to Native media.
Yes.
And you can find out more about Last Rural Indians at lastrealindians.com.
Mm-hmm.
As I stated before the break, we are the People's Press Project, the owners of this radio station, the organization that we run, is also the fiscal agent for the Last Rural Indians
That's
media
right.
group.
Exactly.
Because we want to promote the voices of those that are most disenfranchised from media, and Native people certainly, Indigenous people certainly meet that criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a recent, very unfortunate event which occurred with the 57 Native American students from the Lakota tribe.
Oh, yeah.
At that hockey game in Rapid City, South
yes.
Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Rapid City does not... Native people call it racist city.
That's right. It's in the middle of the Black Hills, you know, and it's
stolen land.
Stolen land.
Right. And the Congress admits that land is stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not going to do anything about it.
That's right.
When you mock your own laws, and white people mock their own laws, and they might mock their own religion, that which they killed our people for not practicing, mm-hmm. for not adopting, to the point that they almost completely destroyed our nations, the First Nations people of mm-hmm. these continents, of this continent. And here in Rapid City, they have this group of Native American students that went to this hockey game, and they were there as a result of their academic achievements.
Yes, that's right.
And do you know how difficult it is in this country for people of color, especially Natives, especially Latinos, especially Black children,
yeah.
to even graduate from high school?
Yeah, statistically, it's a lot less than half of any Native, Indigenous student or Mexican student or Black student to actually graduate from high school.
And that's not even taken into account, having good grades. That's just how many get through it.
Mm-hmm.
These kids had achieved academic heights that merited them being rewarded for their achievements.
A trip to a minor league hockey match, you know?
Exactly. And this story gets grosser and grosser. I took this from an article back in July 22nd from Think Progress, and we will have that link at KPPPLPFM.
Yep, KPPPFM.com.
That's right, Duke. And if you're just listening in, that's Duke Gomez-Shemp, and I'm Cindy Gomez-Shemp, and we are on KPPPFM, LPFM. Oh my God, there's so many P's.
I know. Our radio station's call sign is KPPPLPFM.
Yeah. I was talking about this today. I said, well, you know, it's because it's the People's Press Project,
that's right,
organization that got the license to do community radio, non-commercial community radio. Mm-hmm. And that's why we chose those call signs. And so our beloved radio station is right now broadcasting through Live 365 online, but we will be on your radio dial at 88.1 FM very soon.
That's right.
So get ready for the ride, folks. You're going to hear a lot of interesting news, music, talk, and in different languages from mm-hmm. different cultures, because at 88.1 FM, we are bringing local color to your airwaves.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about things like cultural appropriation, which is today's topic.
Mm-hmm.
In this Think Progress article that I was mentioning to you, they talked about the fact that there was a group of drunk executives in a suite above these students that dumped beer on their heads and yelled, "Go back to the res."
Wow.
But what many people do not know or may not have the details of is that 7 months later, in July 22nd, when this story came out, only one of the people that actually participated in that hate crime, and that is exactly what it was, folks. Mm-hmm. It was a hate crime. When you tell children to go back to the res, or when you tell people to go back to where they came from, and as ignorant as it is to tell First Nations people who belong here more so than any others to go back to someplace.
Exactly.
You're pointing three fingers at yourselves, because you're the ones that came over on that Mayflower.
Yep.
You guys were the ones laying down anchor babies and real anchors, not the First Nations people, including Mexicans, that have been on this continent for tens of thousands of years. This is racism, straight out racism and full on ignorance. But what's worse is 7 months after the incident, there were no people facing charges except for one dude. And he was not going to be facing hate crime charges. He avoided that, and he got to avoid a jury trial, and he was going to avoid seeing any kind of jail time. All of that was taken off of the table. Look at how justice is watered down every step. First of all, by the way, when this happened, the people that were chaperoning the students from the school were told to write up an incident report. The police were not called.
Wow.
Then they were told that they would be contacted later. They were not contacted.
Wow.
Do you see the incremental injustices right from the get-go? Mm-hmm. The people at the hockey game were not willing to call in the police against these rich white executives, privileged white men who had committed a hate crime against innocent children.
Yeah.
But it gets more gross, more repugnant.
Oh, boy.
The students from the American Horse School, by the way, that is a federal institution.
Mm-hmm.
Is the federal government getting involved? Nope. They
nope.
said they would not get involved. So everybody is turning a blind eye, washing one hand with the other. But Consuelo Means, who was one of the chaperones, said that several of these executives were talking to the middle school girls. Okay. There are girls that these drunk men are talking to, and they're asking them, asking these eighth grade girls questions like, "Where are you from? What school are you? What did you come from? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Et cetera. That is some creepy, creepy stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Creepy, gross, white male behavior. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does this chaperone do when she notices it? She immediately puts the kibosh on it and says, don't talk to those drunk men. But guess what happened when the white drunk men couldn't get those eighth grade girls to respond to them anymore? They became enraged. They started to continue to ask them questions and say things to them. So at one point when the home team had scored, one of these men banged on the wall and told the students they had to cheer louder because they were from the res.
Oh boy.
Right?
Yeah.
You're in my turf.
Mm-hmm.
This is like Biff, you know, he's like mm-hmm. the school bully dude. Hey, you resers, you're going to turn your backs on me. I'm done trying to talk to your little girls and fetishize your native women, and you're going to have your chaperone lady tell them not to talk to me. Guess what? I'm a white man. I can tell you guys how to jump and when to jump and how high.
Yeah. Wow.
This man made Consuelo Means go and seek security assistance. But when she got back to her seat, she felt something was dripping on her head.
Okay.
So she went to call for security. She gets back and she's attacked. This is an attack.
Yeah, it is.
Because why? Because she was trying to keep the children safe mm-hmm. from these white folks who were drunk and being inappropriate with the students.
Mm-hmm.
That makes this more egregious and disgusting to me.
Yes.
Than just a bunch of racist jerks that dumped beer on these kids' heads. It goes so much deeper. It's so much uglier.
Yeah.
And it starts by teaching your kids to do the tomahawk chop. And that the Washington R word isn't a slur.
Yeah.
That, hey, it's totally okay to put face paint on and a war bonnet and set up a teepee and go become a shaman and appropriate these people's cultures while never speaking to any native people in your real life.
Exactly.
While never caring about their lives, while never learning anything about their cultural traditions and why they're sacred, why they're offended. People, you have the opportunity to listen to any number of native people. They're all around
That's
you.
Right.
They are not extinct. We are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
There is a saying in Nahuatl, very famous Mexican proverb to this day that says, they tried to bury us, but they didn't know we were seeds.
Hmm.
We are from this earth. We are from this particular land. And this particular land knows us. We are the seeds of this land. Our people believe that we came from corn, literal seeds. So before white folks get all bent out of shape because somebody tells you, you can't wear that costume at Halloween because it's offensive to Mexicans. Please, folks, if you're listening and you have a deep-rooted desire to dress up for Halloween like a Mexican candy skull, do not do it. Stop yourselves.
That's right.
Don't do it. It's offensive. That the Mexican Day of the Dead celebration is a religious celebration that is tied directly to our ancestral remembrance ceremonies of our death ceremonies that have been around for thousands of years. You don't just get to put a bunch of cool looking makeup on your face and prance around acting like a Mexican when we've got a country that hates Mexicans so much that they're running a David Duke approved candidate that calls us all rapists.
Mm-hmm.
No, 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 no. Unless you are challenging every white person around you to condemn the actions of this racist country toward our people and make reparations for the land theft, the loss, the murders, the rape, then I'm sorry. You don't understand why what you're doing is so wrong, but you will be told it is wrong. And whether or not it hurts or it bothers you, too bad. You're just going to have to deal with being uncomfortable and being told that you're being racist, that what you're doing is hurtful to other people. You know, in this case, it is a slap in the face what was done to these students from this school mm-hmm. by the authorities.
Exactly.
Because, again, at every level, every party involved, it not just the deep story, the background story of what these drunk executives were doing at the time, what they were told they couldn't do. Just like when these schools are told, you can't have that mascot anymore. It's like they dig in their heels deeper because white folks can do whatever they damn well please.
Yeah.
And in this case, these kids were told, don't talk to those white folks. And the white folks said, oh, yeah? You're gonna talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna force you to acknowledge me. The venue never called law enforcement to protect the children. There was an assault that occurred and they didn't call law enforcement. If this had been a group of white students that had been assaulted by black people,
yeah.
a group of drunk black people,
the military
or Indians,
would be called out.
Holy tamales. Mm-hmm. I cannot even tell you where that story would have gone.
Mm-hmm.
This is an outrage. And it was even more outrageous that so little media coverage was given to this disgusting hate crime that happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
Then, in the following days after this occurred, the parents of these children who were traumatized by what occurred, many of them were crying all the way back home, along with the chaperones. They were very devastated by what was done to these children. The parents also wanted to hear what the school was going to do. What's the answer to our complaint from this venue and from the authorities? And it's very sad because the children of Pine Ridge Reservation have been unable to leave the reservation because they fear retribution and attacks, racist attacks directed at these children for speaking out, for sharing their grief at being treated by these Rapid City executives like nobody, mm-hmm. like non-humans. And similar trips off the reservation have all been canceled. The kids no longer go to medical treatment in Rapid City or entertainment.
Wow.
Because of the fear of the retaliation.
Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. they spoke up against it and publicized it and told people about it. And people called in, people got involved, people organized.
And a lot of people in the white world, the venue, the cops, the white townsfolk, most of them sided with the executives, sided with the hate crime, and told these kids and told this community, this nation of people on Pine Ridge, we don't care. It's open season on natives.
Mm-hmm.
They can do whatever they want and we're all going to back them up. Hide your kids. If you don't like it, keep them on the reservation.
Wow.
And that's what these folks have had to do because the message was very clearly sent to them. And so these kids, other than their annual sun dances or prayer ceremonies, they have no vacations off the reservation.
Wow.
After this incident, the abysmal response from both the police department and the district attorney, the federal prosecutors, it made people so angry and hurt at what happened. Rapid City Police Department conducted an investigation and concluded, guess what? They concluded that out of all the executives that participated in this hate crime, that only 3 people were directly responsible for any activities. Okay?
Wow.
So they minimized it to mm-hmm. just 3 folks,
mm-hmm.
even though there was a whole bunch of folks involved. How else did they continue to shrink it? Well, then they decided they were only going to charge one of them, Trace O'Connell. Trace O'Connell, this guy, recently it was announced, he's going to walk scot-free, no charges, nothing.
Wow.
This is the same guy who was only charged with disorderly conduct, which is a misdemeanor. There was no hate crime. He got a plea deal. He was looking at a plea deal that had already taken jail time off the table, made it so that he would only be facing some kind of a fine and that he would not face a hate crime. Okay? That was the only way that he could even be prosecuted. And who knows how much pressure had to be brought to bear for someone to be brought to justice, any kind of justice. But this is a mockery of justice. This is white folks telling the native population, this is all the justice we will give you.
Yeah.
This is the meager crumbs of justice because you don't deserve it. You don't deserve to be treated with the respect that other children and other people need to be treated with in our community. And that, my Christian white colonizers, is a sin against God. Read your own book. It's in there. The federal prosecutors decided not to get involved, even though American Horse is a federal institution, as I mentioned before.
Yes.
And according to the one of the superintendents, I believe, the chief of police, the city attorney, and the state's attorney all drove to the White Horse School to a group of parents assembled there to listen to them. And one of the first things they said is, if anyone wants to use this talking stick when I'm done, let me know.
Oh.
That's how they kicked off the meeting.
Wow.
Then they basically said they were only going to charge one person out of all of the crowd of people that were there, that and that they, it was only going to be a misdemeanor charge. And everyone was dumbfounded. And the parents began to question and yell questions at the police and to, you know, I'm sure to condemn them for
minimizing it so much, you know, just.
Yeah. And you know what these folks did immediately? They wanted to leave.
Oh, yeah.
The chief of police went up to the superintendent of schools and says, I'm afraid for our safety.
Wow.
Well, actually, he said he was afraid for the safety of one of the female state attorney. He was protecting the white lady.
That's right.
Oh my God. This it makes my blood boil when I read this stuff.
Yeah, it should.
But not to be outdone, the Lakota people are answering what has been done by starting a trip fund to the UMM for the Lakota 57.
Oh, really? Great.
Yeah, we'll have a link off to the GoFundMe page so you can go and help support. Only all you got to do is donate $10. Who doesn't have $10?
Yeah.
You could totally do that.
I'll do that.
We should. I think everybody should do this. $10, all you got to do. And then this is going to help to fund a trip for these students to go to the U of M. Now, remember, these were students that received that trip to the hockey game as an award for their academic achievements, for their athletic achievements.
Mm-hmm.
You know how hard it is for, Native American students to stay in school and get into the different types of sports when they're not on the res, especially? I mean, you don't see a lot of people of color in extracurricular sports.
Yeah.
In mainstream anywhere, Midtown, USA.
And also to be able to take a trip like that. I mean, it looks like it's coming up pretty quick. I mean, it's September 25th, 26th, you know, and they're going to be able to watch a college soccer and a football game and get a behind-the-scenes tours of the facilities and to meet student-athletes. I mean, those opportunities for young people to have that sort of role modeling is excellent. But we better hurry up. We better donate some money now. They're going to need it.
Mm-hmm. And this Trace O'Connell guy that was the only dude out of all of them that was even charged, this is how he responds, okay? This is how the whole system responds. It's just one slap in the face after another. Mm. The day of the hearing, he doesn't show up.
Oh.
And then he pled, you know, he was going to plead not guilty, but he doesn't even show up. The Rapid City attorney, Joel Landine, who was representing the children in this case. He, you remember I told you he'd asked for jail time. He'd asked for a jury trial. He'd asked for not just a misdemeanor, but a jury trial involving some kind of jail time for this hate crime. Hmm. All of that was taken off the table. And because of the large population of Native Americans in Rapid City, Native people thought that if there was a jury trial, there might be some jury members that were Native. But of course, you know, those decisions were left up to the judge, and he denied those requests. That, again, dealt a blow of injustice mm-hmm. to the Native people, not just to these Native students,
yeah.
to the Native people and to truth itself.
Exactly.
All these people were denying the truth of what occurred that day. So there was no hate crime charges sought, no assault charges yeah. sought, no child abuse mm-hmm. charges sought. This guy just got a walk in the park, yep. basically.
Yeah.
But again, the Lakota people are fighting back. They've started this fund. You can find it at kpppfm.com. This money will go toward helping transport, lodge, and feed the kids from the horse school mm-hmm. and send them to Minnesota University so that they can participate in sports games and get mentoring,
yep.
sit in on a few college classes, mm-hmm. Get tours of the university. And this is something that they very much deserve. If you want to be part of what's good in our neighborhood, check out the link, give generously, send these kids who had academic achievements to the University of Minnesota so that they can get the day that they should have had in Rapid City.
Yes, for sure.
And of course, as always, we very much appreciate you listening in to KPPP-LP-FM online, broadcasting now through Live 365, but soon you'll be able to find us at your radio dial at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves. Again, we appreciate all of your comments, all your feedback. Please make sure that you keep getting in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
Get in touch with that principal at Waterton, South Dakota. Tell them what you think. Leave us your messages at 701-566-0917. Tweet us at media_PPP or email us at cindy.duke@kppfm.com.
That's right.
And what are you taking us out with? We got another band, yep. or no,
another appropriated song. This is actually the Rolling Stones, 1972, Tumbling Dice. In fact, the Stones, they're heavily influenced by blues. They've been stealing blues music from people of color their whole existence. In fact, their name comes from a Muddy Waters song called Rolling Stone. Mm-hmm. And Keith Richards is talked about Chuck Berry saying that it's difficult for me to talk about him because I've lifted every lick ever played by this gentleman.
Lifted so, means steal.
That's right. He's taking the licks. So let's listen to some of these stolen and appropriated licks in the song. Tumbling Dice, the Rolling Stones, 1972.